Today is August the 2nd, 2020. We're going to begin here in Jeremiah chapter 15, in verse 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Joy and rejoicing. Do you have joy and rejoicing in your heart? Is your heart full of joy and rejoicing this morning? Well, if not, would you like to have joy and rejoicing in your heart? I mean, some people don't. They would rather, you know, focus on the negative stuff and complain. But if you want joy and rejoicing in your heart, then get your head in the book. Now, I know sometimes people get overwhelmed with life and circumstances and situations, and sometimes people are tempted to think that, you know, nothing's ever going to improve, and besides that, nobody understands, you know, what I'm going through. And well, I know God does. And Jeremiah fed himself with God's word, and it says that God's word is what gave him the joy and rejoicing that he needed. And do you think he had an easy life? No, he didn't. It was extremely difficult for him. He was ridiculed. He was mocked. He was thrown in jail. At one point, they even buried him up to his neck in dung. You know, there were times he just wanted to quit. That's it. I'm done. And yet, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy words were unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. This morning, I'd like to take a look at the great value of God's written word, the scriptures. And if you would turn to 2 Timothy, I'm sure this is probably familiar, but I'd just like to take a couple of moments to review this verse, because I know for most of you it's not new. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we read in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And that given by inspiration of God, in Greek, it's one word that means God breathed. All scripture, God breathed. And that's a figure of speech, meaning God spoke it. All scripture, God breathed. All of it. All scripture, God breathed. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All of it is profitable to us. For doctrine, which literally means teaching. And of course, in this context, it would be right teaching. Without right teaching, how can you believe rightly? Just guess and hope that you'd be right. You know, like God's word teaches us, healing from God is right teaching. Having a right understanding of the scriptures relating to healing is profitable to us. It's profitable for right teaching, which results in right believing, believing the right things. Then reproof is for when and where one's been believing wrongly. You know, someone might believe that, and some people teach this, that God gives you sickness to test you. That's wrong teaching. But when they read and understand what the scriptures say, like God sent his word and healed them, and by Jesus Christ's stripes you were healed, and so many other verses about healing, then those scriptures would be reproof. You know, it reproves us at the place where we're not believing rightly. And then, of course, correction gets one back to believing rightly. All three of these are instruction in righteousness. How valuable God's word is. How profitable God's word is to our own personal lives. And then verse 17, that the man of God or woman of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Be better translated, that the man of God or the woman of God may be furnished, truly furnished unto all good works. That word perfect and furnished, same word, and it means completely outfitted. Like when a ship goes on a voyage and they would, you know, put everything on there that would be needed for the trip. Completely outfitted, completely furnished. That the man or woman of God may be furnished, truly furnished unto all good works. How valuable the scriptures are to us in our own personal lives. If you would go over to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, not too far away. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, we read in verse 2, it says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that's called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Oh my goodness. Aren't those verses tremendous? Grace and peace multiplied unto you? Who would refuse more of God's grace and peace? Oh, I don't need any more of God's divine favor, his blessings. I have quite a few. Oh, I don't need any more peace. Grace and peace multiplied unto you. How? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And where are we going to get that knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord? We get that knowledge from the scriptures, from his word. And down there in verse 4, it said, "Exceeding great and precious promises." Promises from God. Well, what are they? Where do I find them? In the scriptures. How valuable God's word is. How profitable it is to our own personal lives. And we read just a few minutes ago where it said that Jeremiah ate the word. Remember, "Thy words were found and I did eat them." Well, of course, that's figurative. Jeremiah didn't grab a scroll because he was really hungry and there was nothing to eat and he started chewing on a scroll. It's figurative. And you know, there are many places in the scriptures that use that comparison, comparing physical food with the words of God. And that is not done haphazardly, right? We know that holy men of God spoke and wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. In other words, it's God who chose that comparison. God chose in a number of places in his word to compare his word with physical food. And you know, when it comes to physical food, is it important? Yes. Is it necessary? Yes. Matthew chapter 4. This is when Jesus was being tempted. Matthew chapter 4. "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit." Matthew 4, 1. "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered." I guess so. "And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'Oh, if you're really the Son of God, why don't you command that these stones be made bread?' But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.'" That's interesting because we just read in Timothy, all scripture God breathed. You know, when you speak, you breathe. Pretty hard to speak without air coming out, right? All scripture God breathed. "But man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Jesus knew the scriptures, and here he's referring to Deuteronomy 8. Man shall not live by bread alone. We do need bread, or, you know, bread's there representing physical food. We need physical food to live, right? Without physical food, we cannot live. Jesus said to live, we need physical food and spiritual food, the Word of God. to live the life that God would have us live, a life of grace and peace, we need God's word. So man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I'll show you an interesting one in the book of Ezekiel. Back in the Old Testament, Ezekiel, it's right before the book of Daniel. Right after Lamentations, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. Look at this, in Ezekiel chapter 3. Verse 1, moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll. Eat this scroll. And go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause your belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. The words that God gave him. Eat this scroll. Literally eat it? No, no. He was to take the words that God was giving him and then digest them, assimilate them, know them, understand them. You know, we might say, get your head in the book. And then he was to go and speak them. And he said that God's words were like sweet, like honey. Psalm 19 says God's words are sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. In Psalm 119, it says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And again, it's God that wanted to use this comparison of his word with food. He probably thought we could relate to it since food's kind of important. Since food might be on our mind maybe once a day, twice a day. God also uses that comparison in 1 Corinthians. So if you'd flip over to 1 Corinthians, please, chapter 3. You know, in Paul's day, the Corinthian believers were, how should I put this? They were a tough crowd. And Paul spent a whole lot of time in Corinth, a lot of time. And then he wrote them two epistles. And they weren't short epistles either. You know, you can look, and Galatians has 6 chapters, Ephesians has 6 chapters, Philippians has 4 chapters, Colossians has 4 chapters, both of the epistles to the Thessalonians, a total of 7 chapters. But Corinthians? 2 epistles, and a total of 29 chapters. And the Corinthian epistles are reproof epistles. And in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, verse 2, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. You're kind of babies. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. You know, I had to feed you with milk because you were babies, you know, newborn babies in God's word. You're babies. And here he's saying, you know what? You're still babies. That's all you can still handle is the milk. And if you read on, he starts telling him that, look, you know, you're carnal. You know, one guy is saying, well, you know, this and that, I like Paul better than this guy, and well, no, I like Apollos, I think he's one, you know. Paul said, look, you're a bunch of babies. I fed you with milk when I first met you, like, but you still, this is where you're still at. That's why it's, you know, reproof. And if you look at Hebrews chapter 5, I think Hebrews chapter 5 makes it really clear. In verse 11 of Hebrews 5, of which we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. Wow, this is kind of reproof, isn't it? You're dull of hearing. For when, verse 12, the time you ought to be teachers. You ought to be teachers right now. You have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. He's a baby. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. See, God's saying that, look, you ought to now be at the point of being able to teach others, but you have become such as need milk. They should have stayed sharp on God's word, but they didn't. I know this. It doesn't matter how long you've been in the word. Well, I got back in the word way back in my... It doesn't matter how long you've been in the word. It doesn't matter how many classes you've taken or whose ministry you've sat under. It's up to each one of us to stay sharp on God's word and keep growing. Why? So our lives will be blessed, and so we're able to help others, especially those who are just getting started. You know, like it says in 1 Peter, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. You know, and get to a point where you can handle the meat of the word. It's a growing process. And see, God uses this comparison because he, you know, wants us to figure it out. It's a growing process. Just like with physical food, babies start out with what? Milk. You know, you don't give a one-month-old baby a cheeseburger and fries. If you're not regularly feeding on God's word, you are not growing. And if you're not growing, you're wilting. Look at Hebrews 5:12 again. Verse 12 again. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Become. How did they become that way? They stopped feeding regularly on God's word. So we ought to keep growing. Never become complacent and think, well, yeah, I know plenty now. Remember what Jesus Christ said. We read it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We need spiritual food, the word of God, in order to live the life that God would have us to live, a life of grace and peace. We need a regular diet of God's word. I mean, how often do we need physical food? All right, I'll share something personally with you. For me, I need physical food every day. And not just once, right? Look, how much physical food do we need? How often do we need physical food? How much spiritual food then do we need? You know, that, so it's like, well, okay, so I get it. So, I mean, what are you saying? I should read the Bible, what, 5 minutes a day? 10 minutes? I should... Sometimes people are looking for, you know, a formula or whatever. I think the best way to answer that question would be to think about Joshua. You know, when they left Egypt, Joshua was around 40 years old. And he was one of only two that believed God that they could go right into the promised land. You remember he was one of the 12 spies, him and Caleb. And he was like, let's go. God will take care of us. That's where he was at in his trusting and believing God. And of course, you know, they didn't go in because everybody, you know, wanted to stone Moses and go back to Egypt. And finally, you know, the glory of the Lord appeared. All right, that's it. Now you guys are going to wander for 40 years. But when Joshua was 40 years old, he said, look, God will take care of us. We'll go in. So for the next 40 years, he's been right there with Moses. You know, the Bible says he was Moses' minister. Right there. Faithful for 40 years. And then Moses dies. And God chose Joshua to take over Moses' place. Of all the people of Israel, God chose Joshua. Who of us would even dare to think, well, you know, if I was there, well, God maybe would have. We wouldn't even dare to go there, would we? No. So one might say, spiritually, Joshua had arrived, reached a level of trusting and believing God to the point that God picked him to lead the children of Israel to take over where Moses left off and bring them into the promised land. Well, go to the book of Joshua and look what God told Joshua right after Moses died. And it's very significant, I think, because I don't think any of us would deny that Joshua had reached a level of trusting and believing God at this point. We know where he was 40 years before, and then for 40 years faithful to be right there with Moses. And the book of Joshua, chapter 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even over unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Look at this. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you, nor forsake you. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people you shall divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Now watch this. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. The word of God that they had at that time, that Moses wrote, first five books of the Bible. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper whithersoever you go. There it is. There's the purpose. What great value. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. Why? That you may observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Wow. Day and night, every day. Just like we eat physical food every day, right? Why do we eat physical food every day? So we can live. Why do we need God's word every day? Man shall not live by bread alone, but man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We need God's word every day. Why? We just read it. So we could prosper. God wants us blessed. He told him, so then thou shalt make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. Now, we have to ask ourselves a question here. If this is what God said to Joshua, Joshua, what about you and me? Do we really need to keep growing in our understanding of God's word? Well, do we really need to eat physical food every single day? I mean, can't we just eat a great big meal on Sunday and then that's it for the rest of the week? You know, you can read in Deuteronomy where God said, if you guys end up having a king, then he is supposed to write out his own copy of the Word of God. That'd be the first five books. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Write it all out. And then keep it with him and read it. Let's look at that. It's back up just to Deuteronomy 17. Boy, bet you're glad God's not telling us that. Okay, now that you got born again, here's what I want you to do. I want you to write out your own copy of the Bible the whole Bible. No, aren't we so blessed? We have it written. We have it written in front of us. We have it in a book. We have it on a tablet. We have access to different versions. Oh my goodness. There's so much available to us. But here's what he said in Deuteronomy 17. Verse 18. It shall be, this is like, okay, if you guys end up having a king, here's what you're supposed to do. Verse 18 of Deuteronomy 17. And it shall be, when he sits upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book, out of that which is before the priest, the Levites, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life. You write out your own copy, and then you read it all the days of your life. Why? That he may learn to reverence the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. How valuable God's word is. How profitable it is to our own personal lives. Take a look at Psalm 19. Psalm 19. There are so many places that we could go where God reminds us of how valuable his word is, how profitable his word is to us. In Psalm 19, we'll start in verse 7. Many times when you read, especially in the book of Psalms, God's word is referred to as law, testimony, statutes, commandments, a number of different ways that God intentionally refers to his word. So, the law of the Lord, or God's word, is perfect, converting the soul. My goodness, converting means restoring the soul. The word of God is perfect. The word of God restores the soul. The testimony of the Lord, God's word, is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord, God's words, are right, rejoicing the heart. There it is. Remember Jeremiah, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. The words of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord, God's word, is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear or reverence of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord, God's words, are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them, by God's word, is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. How valuable God's word is. How profitable it is to our own personal lives. By the way, there in verse 10, why does it say in verse 10, more to be desired than gold or even fine gold? Why? Because God doesn't want us to have anything. God wants us to stay poor. Don't go after. No. I mean, the word of God is full of places where you can read where God wants us to prosper and have abundance. The reason it says more to be desired is because in God's word are the keys to great abundance. God says his words are pure words. As pure, it says in one place, as silver that's purified seven times. His words, rightly understood, are pure words with no impurities. God says his words are a lamp unto our feet, a light for our path. His words make us wise, even wiser than our teachers, it says. You know, take the time to go through Psalm 119 and see how many references there are in the longest psalm in the book, how many references to God's word. And in that psalm, it'll say testimonies, statutes, commandments, law. There are many places in the scriptures where God talks about his words. And, you know, we could stay at this, you know, for another couple of hours, but we won't. I'd like to close out in Proverbs chapter 4, how valuable God's word, the scriptures, are. Proverbs chapter 4, we'll start in verse 20. My son, or my daughter, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Look at verse 22. They are life. Life unto those that find them. Man shall not live, have life, by bread alone, but have life by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. They are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. How valuable God's word is. Keep, verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it, out of your own heart, are the issues of life, your life. You know, I mentioned before the teaching that at any point in our lives, we can choose to put forth an effort to grow in our understanding of God's word. And to grow in our understanding of God's word, it's not to get a bunch of head knowledge. Oh, I know what this Greek word is. Oh, I've memorized 50,000 verses. Growing in God's word is about gaining a greater understanding of God and of the things of God, so that our own personal lives will be blessed. We gain more trust in believing his promises, so that we could receive from God what we need in our lives. We gain more peace in our lives. We gain more of his grace in our lives. And then, as we grow, we have a greater capacity to help others with the light of God's word. You know, we pray for God's word to have free course, right? We pray for people's hearts to change. How do people's hearts change? Well, how does your heart change? Remember when Paul spoke to Lydia in Acts 16? It says, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken by Paul. She attended. She accepted and believed the word of God that Paul was sharing with her. You know, Hebrews 4 says, unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with believing in them that heard it. See, it's up to those who hear to decide. It's like verse 20 here in this Proverbs 4. My son, attend to my words. It's interesting that the word attend in Acts 16, it's the same word that's used in Acts 8, where the people of Samaria, it says, gave heed to the things that Philip was speaking to them. The word of God that Philip was speaking, they gave heed. They gave attention to it, and there was great deliverance. And so as we speak the light of God's word, all we're doing is planting and watering. We plant, we water. God will give the increase when people attend to the words we speak. And we really do have something of great value to share with others that can really help them. So keep feeding yourself God's word. Read it. Study it. Keep growing. The profit and value to your personal life is immeasurable. And you'll have light to speak to others in these dark days. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Shall we pray? Almighty God, our gracious, wonderful Heavenly Father, we praise you for your love, for your power, for your grace, and for your mercy. We praise you for being a great God of deliverance. And Father, we thank you for giving us your words, the word of life. May we be ever attentive to your words. Father, may you enlighten the eyes of our understanding as we stay attentive. May you teach us what we need to know. Father, may you help us in all of our endeavors. May we continue to trust you, look to you, and believe you. We pray this morning, Father, for deliverance for those who need it, whether that be physical, mental, spiritual, that you are still a God of great deliverance, and you are a God of power and a God of solutions. Thank you, Father, for the great privilege to share your word this morning, and I just ask you to bless everyone on this phone call for a wonderful week ahead in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, thank you all for being here this morning. It is truly a great privilege for me to share God's word with you. I will post this teaching on the blog, and we'll be back here again next Sunday, unless, of course, Christ returns, which would be great. I sure hope so. Until then, keep growing in God's word, pray more, speak God's word, and have yourself a great week. God bless you. You're wonderful.